If you'd like to read along with me, I'll be reading from Philippians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 14. Apostle Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
It's good to see Rob and Suzanne back with us. We're really glad that you made it back. Sorry about the weather. We can't control that part, though. We move into the future regardless of how we prepare for it. Tomorrow's going to come. But when the future does come, what will we do with it? What will we do with the future when it arrives? There's going to be challenges. Are we willing to accept those challenges? We are going to meet the enemies. Are we ready to defeat them? Are we ready to meet the dangers, to be able to avoid them? Will we open that door of opportunity that the future brings? These are all parts of our future. They are the ingredients of our future. The future is always going to bring one or multiples of these things. But there's also another essential ingredient that we need in order to meet the future. That is our attitude. Someone wrote this verse. The title is, "Who Am I Describing?" I don't know who wrote it, but I like it. It is the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruits are outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is an outward look based on past experiences. It is the thing that draws people or repels them. It is never content until it is expressed. It is the librarian of our past. It is the speaker of our present. It is the prophet of our future. What is it? It is our attitude. Most of us know what attitude is, even if we can't put it into words. It is our prevailing tendency to respond favorably or unfavorably to a person, an object, a group, or an event. Normally, we speak of positive and negative attitudes. Practically speaking, it is how we think or feel about things. Attitudes are formed by what we believe to be true about things. We express attitudes in several ways: our facial expressions, in the tone of our voice or its inflection, in our behavior or lack of behavior, the way we perform a task, the energy that we put in to whatever we are doing. Are we interested in it? Are we interested in the person or the thing or the activity? We need to ask ourselves, how am I expressing Christianity? General Douglas MacArthur, he wrote a very profound statement about aging. He said, in the central place of every heart, there is a recording chamber. As long as it receives messages of beauty, hope, cheer, and courage, you are young. When the wires are all down and your heart is covered with the snows of pessimism and the ice of cynicism, then and only then are you grown old. A little boy had asked his playmate, wouldn't you hate to wear glasses all the time? And the other boy said, no, not if I had the kind that my grandma has. She sees how to fix a lot of things. She sees a lot of nice things to do on rainy days and sees when folks are tired or sad and what makes them feel better. She sees what you meant to do even if you haven't got things quite right. I asked her one day how she could see the way that way all the time, and she said that it was the way she learned to look at things when she grew older. So it must be her glasses. The power of attitude is seen in the fact that since it reflects what we believe, it also reflects what we are. It reflects what we will do. It affects how much of ourselves we are willing to give. There is no doubt that attitude is a great determining factor to success. Not only in the worldly activities, but more importantly, attitude in the success of the church. In our early translations of the Bible, maybe some of the newer ones you might see attitude, but most of them, the word attitude is not there. It uses different words for attitude, like mind and countenance and heart. Attitude is a very descriptive word that gives insight into how a person thinks or feels about something or someone. There are many biblical examples of attitude. We've been studying some of those on Sunday morning in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. It says, and Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. We go over into the book of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, and we see an attitude of work. And so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Attitude. Attitude. Nothing can be accomplished unless we have the proper attitude. Verse 17 of Nehemiah 4 says that they which builded the wall and they that bear burdens, with those who that ladened, every one of them with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. They were against an awful lot of people. There was a lot of people that didn't want that work to be accomplished. Can you imagine trying to build your home, and in one hand you had to have a sword, in the other hand you had to have a hammer or a saw? Can you imagine how difficult it would be to hold the nail? But they had a mind to work. They were going to accomplish their task, regardless of the obstacles they faced. But Paul gives us the same great example in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 5 through 8, where we see an attitude of sacrifice. Paul writes, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. and being found in the fashion of the man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even when Jesus knew from the very beginning what it was going to cost him, he had an attitude of sacrifice. He knew exactly from the very beginning what it was going to take to save the souls of man. Jesus today is the tree of life in a land barren. He is. Because of his sacrifice, his attitude of sacrifice. In Ephesians 4 and verses 22 and 23, Paul, he said that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Get rid of what you were. Put that in your past. Well, then he says, because it was corrupt and it is full of deceitful lusts. He says, and then be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Change your attitude. Get ready to work. Be ready for sacrifice. Be ready for when the future comes. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. Arm yourselves with a like mind. Put yourself in the mind of Christ. Arm yourself the way Jesus was prepared. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. You can't tell me that none of you all suffer on a daily basis because of your beliefs. It may not always be overt. It could be covert. But we all suffer to a certain degree what we believe and what we hold dear. The conversations that we get into with our neighbors, the disagreements that we have over morality, and even those discussions come and are exposed in the Lord's church. Depending on where you attend. If we were to look at modesty issues here, we have a pretty set mind. But visit a church down by the seashore. Because they've been desensitized over the years, their sense of modesty is different. We know what the Bible says. It's obvious that God's Word recognizes the importance of attitude. It either condemns or commends people for the product of the attitude in their lives. Where does the future of the Lord's church stand on? I submit it stands on our attitude. The church is either going to stand or it's going to fall. And it's going to be based on our attitude. Listen to what Mark 12 and verse 30 says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Does our attitude reflect that? Does our love go that deep? Is it that strong? What is our attitude toward God? Do we put our unflinching faith in Him? Do we have a faith and a desire as we studied in Nehemiah this morning in his prayer, knowing that he was going to go up before King Artaxerxes and ask a very difficult question. He was going to ask a very important favor. And he was saddened. He was worried. And in Nehemiah 2 and verse 4, it says that he shot a quick prayer to God. He prayed to God. By our interest in God and doing what He commands will make a big difference on how we perform. It will give us the courage to be bold. It will give us the courage to do things where our own personality may be holding us back. It will give us the strength to overcome our weaknesses. It will shape our spiritual growth. It will also determine the moral climate in which we decide to live in. It will also affect how we worship. Well, sadly, many come to worship to be entertained. We come here today, you braved the weather to this morning to be able to come here because you wanted to be here to worship God. I'm not putting on a hand puppet show. I didn't come to entertain. Many years ago, Hendersonville Church, Vicki and I were attending, they had one of the mission works from Ireland, I believe, a gentleman came from. They were supporting a church over there, and he came, and I remember the very first thing in that rich Irish brogue. He told him from the very beginning, I didn't come here to entertain you folks. That always stuck with me. He wasn't standing there to entertain. I see too many today look at this as a social activity instead of a worship service. They are more interested in getting up, getting with the news and the gossip of the day than communing with God. We need to develop and to continue to develop a positive attitude about our church, about the Lord's church. And when I look at attitudes towards the church, I can't help but reflect on Paul, the Apostle Paul, not our song leader Paul. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, Paul writes, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the things that are outside, the things that we normally encounter day to day, besides those things, Paul says, the care of all the churches. He was concerned about them, all of them. Yes, the other things wear on us, our daily jobs, our families, our activities outside the church, they all wear on us. And we are concerned about them, but we need to be equally, even more concerned, as Paul was, about the church. We need to be able to talk up the church, to be able to promote it, I mean. To be able to show people outside, our neighbors, just how wonderful it is to be here, to truly worship God. It was said in our class this morning, there are many people out there who are being bombarded with things that aren't quite true, and they really are looking for something with meaning. It is each of us that has that meaning within our hearts, just waiting for someone to hear it. We need to love one another. And I'm not just mentioning the words. As we can tell by our attitudes if that love is truly there. John had a tremendous love, and you read John's 1, 2, and 3, you see love in those letters. In 1 John 3 and verses 16 through 18, he says, "Whereby perceive we the love of God? Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his vows of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children," he says, "let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You know, when you see someone who's hurting and who's hungry, and you say, "Well, I'll pray for you," does that fill a stomach? Does that fill a need? To a certain point, it does. See, while it may be in word, there needs to be a deed involved. There's a lot of things that go on within the church. Sometimes it's our fault. We don't let things be known as much as we should. But we do have activities in our bulletins that are planned out, that come on a regular basis. And we need to be actively involved in these works. And so we need to sit back and we need to evaluate our involvement in these things. Am I carrying my share of the burden? You know, Hebrews 10 verse 25 tells about not forsaking the assembly. It doesn't mean just here, but any time we gather together as brothers and sisters, whether it's a Monday night prayer meeting or a personal works group and things like this, or even our fellowship meals, we gather together in fellowship with one another. We get to know and trust and love one another even deeper. If we say to ourselves that our assemblies are important, are we making sure that we show that importance with our attitude and our attendance? Are we participators in our services, or are we just spectators? Holding fast a positive attitude about being different in the world is the difference between leading others to Christ or being led away from Christ. Paul in 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14 and going through verse 18, he talks in here about being unequally yoked with unbelievers. We cannot be led down that path where we think that we are strong enough, that we can be both participants of the world and participants as Christians. All too often, the pull is going to be greater in the direction we don't want to go. We need to continually remind ourselves that we are a son or a daughter of the King. What is our attitude about the life that we live? Do we have a positive attitude? Is it an attitude that can carry us through all the trials and tribulations that we face on a daily basis? Do we have Paul's attitude in Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for good? To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Do we believe that? Even when something goes wrong, do we put a negative spin on things, or do we put a positive spin on things to get it turned around so that we're not dragged under? I don't know if any of you have ever been caught in an undertow. then you're struggling to stay on top of the water. You're struggling to stay where you can breathe and to get to safety. Ten, 15 years ago, right up next to camp, there was a home up there around the corner of camp that had a pond. And the pond needed to have work done to it, and they hired a scuba diver, a local guy, to take the cap off of it to drain and lower the water. Cap had been on there for many years, had never been budged. The man wasn't altogether 100% familiar with what he was getting into. It happened during minicamp. He finally was able to get this can that was over top of the pipe off and got sucked into the pipe to his shoulders. And because there was 9 feet of water above him, he couldn't get loose. Eventually, the power of the suction took his mask completely off, and he was left without air. Our attitude can cause us to be just like that. If we don't have that positive attitude, our mask is going to be ripped from our face, and we're going to be drug under and lost. We can't keep our attitudes secret. They are there. People can see it on our faces, in our actions. They can hear it in our voice. Anyone with even a little bit of intelligence can tell how much you are for something or against something. They can tell if you truly believe what you say. There's no hiding an attitude. It's going to show through to others. But we must make it a point to singly and collectively move forward with a proper attitude. Where's your attitude today? How is your attitude? It will show. It will show. But we can't begin to change till we recognize one clear fact. We're not going to get out of this world alive. Period. That is a fact that cannot be changed, because God put it into place because of man's sins. But there is a way that we will never have to taste that second death. If you're not a child of God, you need to think about that second death. That second death is forever. There will be no second chances once we leave this world. If you're not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity today, this morning, to repent and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, to have your sins washed away through baptism, a decision that needs to be made, a decision that can save your soul. And then together, we'll help each other to live a fruitful and faithful life in service to the Lord. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe your attitude is not exactly what God would like it to be. And you need to repent of those things and to change your attitude and to live more for Him. Whatever your need may be this morning, even if it's to ask for prayers of the congregation, or a trial that you may be facing, we want to give you the opportunity this morning as together we stand and we sing.